Believe it or not, that's the teaching is what we're going to discuss a little bit today. As we said, we're going to do James chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." And the masters there, in my belief, what he's talking about is to not... The masters he's referring to as teachers there. He's saying, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. I believe as we study through this in our study that just came out of Acts, it appeared that it was real easy for anybody to get in front of the synagogue and to be able to speak, and a lot of things were being taught. Maybe that wasn't right. We've seen places where Barnabas and Silas and Paul, they would go into these synagogues, and they would no sooner and walk into these cities and towns and somehow they were given a voice, which was a good thing, and the Lord probably guided that. But I believe that there was maybe some places that men would stand up and just freely speak and not having any true understanding or doctrine about it. I think that's what James is saying here. Again, part of the early church here, possibly at Jerusalem, he's saying, be not many masters, but the ones that would be doing the teaching, realize that there's a greater condemnation because you should know. It's not out of ignorance that you do what you do. You know what you're doing, and understand that if you're going to try to teach, if you're going to try to be one of these masters, as it refers to. This chapter, as you read through chapter 3, it's going to talk a lot about the tongue and that no man can tame it. James is warning there that there shouldn't be a lot of teachers, is what we just talked about. And it says that the teachers will be held more accountable. So that's going to be how we look at this, and hope you all agree with that statement. And I'm not, hopefully not taking that out of context, but we're going to study, and we're going to kind of do a little bit of understanding about the teachers and these gifts maybe that was given. And I'm not saying, please don't, I'm saying the real teachers out there, not what I'm trying to do and trying to understand this a little bit. I'm not a qualified teacher at all, but understand this, that there's a certain point in time to where we're all hopefully able to teach our children, so we all kind of fall in this category, whether you ever try to teach a whole bunch of people at one time or something like that, but just understand we're kind of all in this position at some point in time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, going over to 12 and 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps governments, diversities of tongues. Kind of seems like Paul is giving a specific order there, doesn't it? Maybe like a priority list. And that was definitely good and still is good for the church. I feel like I'm rushing this already this morning, but the point being is we're going to try to, like I said, try to understand a little bit about the teachers and how that is a gift. There's gifts given to all the members of the churches. And we'll try to understand here just a little bit what Paul says about that and how that we ought to handle that. So we're going to go ahead and continue reading in the 12th chapter, 29 through the 31st there. And he's asking this in questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, when he's saying covet there, Brother Josh, he sent me a text the other day, and you'll hear him say it a lot of times, that he covets your prayers. It's not that he wants that. He covets means he desires those things. That's what he means by that. And that's what covet means. He desires that. He wants that. But he doesn't want it to be seen of man. He wants it. And just as Paul is saying right here, Paul is saying here that we should desire these things. We should understand this, but not to be seen of man, but that we would properly use these gifts that are given to all that make up the body of the church. So don't desire to have the gifts, but desire to use the ones that you have in a loving way. Amen. That's what I think he means by the more excellent way. Some may have had that gift of teaching, but if they're doing it out of arrogance, and we see that sometimes, not necessarily in the churches, but you see it, I guess I think more along the lines of professors or someone like that. They've got knowledge and they've got wisdom, but it's not used in a more excellent way, as Paul has put it here. So we should desire to understand the gifts that we have. We should want those, but we want to use them in God's way. And I hope all of that's making sense this morning. Is there any thoughts on any of that so far? We talked earlier about we should all be teachers. And I think we can support that in the way that if Jesus is our example, he was a teacher. He tried to teach, didn't he? I think we've seen that as Nicodemus came to him and he referred to him as Rabbi, didn't he? He said, came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, came from God. No man can do these miracles unless God is with him. And that was in John 3:2. So again, if he's our measuring stick and he was a teacher, I think we should desire that as well at some capacity, one level or the other. But we all need to be able to teach the things that we know.
Jesus said one time concerning that, he said, we speak that which we do know.
Man.
And if we don't know something, it's a lot better to just be quiet sometimes.
Amen.
I don't know than it is to say something. Maybe it turns into trying to impress, you know, rather than to edify.
Man.
And Brother Jeff preached a sermon last week along the line of misuse of our authority. Talking here about how that we're all given different gifts and we all need one another. And Paul said, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of
man.
I mean, we're all needed. And the gifts that you mentioned, that we put them in the areas where God gives us instead of trying to be like so-and-so or trying to be, just take what God gives us.
Amen.
And apply that.
Amen.
You know, and if we'll do that, and I think a lot of times about that scripture, don't know. He said, in one place, said that to know not to do good,
yeah,
and do it not as stripes.
Yeah.
That's ignorance. You know, if we don't know better and we do something. But he said, but to know to do good, to know to apply the gifts that God has given
Amen.
Us. He said, to know to do good and do it not, he said, it meant as stripes. So if we misuse the gifts that God has given us, or if we misuse the authority, as Jeff preached last week about the authority that the limited authority that the church, if we misuse that, that's many stripes.
Amen.
And we can see what happens due to that, you know. So boy, it's just so important for us just to be what God made us.
Amen.
And apply that, like you said.
Amen.
Walk worthy of the vocation.
Amen.
And I love how you brought out that first verse. You know, you said you were exactly what he told Nicodemus, said, are you a master? Yep. And you know not these things? Yep. And that, what a master is a teacher.
Amen.
And you'll go over and read that, but that's exactly
what. Where's that at, brother? You got it.
John 3. John 3:10, Jesus answered him and says unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Mm-hmm. And that's what a master means there.
Amen.
He's a teacher. Or you're a teacher.
I didn't even think about that. Amen.
You know not these? And so that's exactly what he was saying over in the third chapter of James. As soon as you read it, I thought, I know where the example is.
Amen.
I kept thinking
Amen. To
go to it.
No, I didn't even have it marked.
But anyway, no. I agree with you 100%. James in the second chapter, I believe it was, or was it the first chapter, where he told them, be slow to speak,
yep.
And quick to hear. There's too many people that want to be a teacher, and sometimes I get caught up in that. I'm not a big teacher. Now, Marty Mayer,
man.
That is his gift.
Amen.
But I am what I am.
Yep.
I mean, I'd love to be able to preach like Barry or TJ or Dusty, but I am what I am, and I just get up there and let it just be me.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're a good teacher.
No,
don't say you're not a teacher. You do a good job. Barry's a good teacher.
Amen.
But listen, I mean, also Timothy said, Paul from Timothy, for somebody like me, I need to be out to teach. And I don't mean that. I mean that every once in a while you could just accidentally run up on it and teach something. That means you ought to be able to do it, and you're going to be doing this job. So you got to be able to do some teaching. But all of us have got different talents, and you got a talent. Don't run yourself down.
Appreciate this. Anything else? The next place, I wanted to see where they called out teachers, and it's back in our recent study in Acts in chapter 13. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And I kind of got a little distracted with this thought, but we'd studied this before, but boy, it just seemed like here recently it seemed to have brought out quite a bit more thoughts here. But it referred to them as prophets and teachers, didn't it? It gave four names. And then in the second, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So, understand where who's doing the calling there? What are they separating from? In the third, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Who was sending who away? And with what authority were they sending them away? And then in the fourth, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, I say all of that as teachers here. This book of Acts, as Brother Jeff has put it, this is where we get a lot of our church fundamentals, isn't it? The sent forth and the sent them is the thought there. In the third, there's actually, of course, that this was written in Greek to begin with, right? So when you see that in the third, said they sent them, and then in the fourth, being sent forth. It's two different Greek words. The one in the third, and I'm not going to try to pronounce these very well, but apollousin is released by the church. I got a lot of good thoughts out of that, especially with our recent study and meetings here lately. But it says the church released them. But who did the sending forth? In the fourth, it said sent forth by the Holy Ghost. The church released them to go, meaning that they were released of the obligation there at that church. That's the only power they had. The Holy Ghost sent them. And I think we're missing a point in some places. You see, there's a fine line shown right there where the church's authority stops and where God's has already existed and carries on. I'm not going to say that it necessarily starts there. It's always been there. It just carries on further than what the church is allowed to go.
Amen.
The church does have authority. I'll never disagree with that. But it will never override its head,
Amen.
Which is Jesus Christ, and it'll never override this Holy Spirit, which is Jesus Christ and God, the triune Godhead, isn't it?
Amen.
Got a lot of good thoughts out of that.
Amen.
Just want to touch on that a little bit while we were trying to teach a little. But recognizing that there were two different Greek words there, although we try to make those two very sound very similar, that one had the ability to send them, and the other one was sent forth. So when I first read that, I thought, well, that's kind of the same thing, but it's clearly not. And there was two different powers there being shown. Any thoughts on any of that this morning?
Says over how being sent, how to be preached.
Man.
If it ain't talking, you know, we always look at more of the church sending them out, but you wonder what the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
How then shall they call on whom they have not believed? How shall they believe?
Amen.
So, got to believe what was going on, even in that being said there, it's the Holy Spirit, once again, going back over where you read that.
Amen.
Send them out to do the work. I'm not you. I believe the authority. I believe they give them liberty to go out,
yep,
and let release them to go.
Yep.
I do believe in authority, but it only goes so far. They had to let. They had to surrender to the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost that separated them to do the work that he called them out to do. And I hear preachers say it all the time, well, the church tells me I can't preach here and I won't. Well, I understand that. I would try to respect Hilltop in every way I could. But we need to let people go preach where the Holy Ghost leads them. If the Holy Spirit says go preach, you need to go preach. Church don't never need to cut the spot saying, no, you can't go around preach. Now, there might be a place that where you say it wouldn't be good for you to go past that place if they was not a church. But there, I'll be honest with you. Dean Dyer went down there to Harmony.
Yeah.
When was it? In the early
90s?
Yep. And they was in the Southern Baptist Association, and everybody warned him, told him not to go. And they was all saying, don't go, don't go. You know, we're going to burn him. And guess what he does? He followed the Lord, and Maple Road number 2, give him liberty, released him to go.
Man.
And he went over there, and guess what happened?
Yep.
They come out of the Southern Baptist Association, and they're one of our strong churches.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
So, I mean, there, you know, we've got to give the Lord.
Yeah.
Do
the same. Amen. Amen.
Anyway, I didn't mean to get into
that. Fine example. I think we see back in Acts 11 when Antioch was set up, Paul after being saved on the road to Damascus and Barnabas standing up for him at the end of the ninth chapter. And then Barnabas is speaking to them at Jerusalem about him. But then there was some there at Jerusalem, not of the church, but some there in Jerusalem. They headed out for Paul, so Paul headed out to Tarsus. And then it's in the chapter 10, it talks about what Peter had going on, and then back to Paul, or back to Barnabas. Barnabas is picking up there at the end of the 10th chapter, or end of the 11th maybe. And it was talking about that he had a need. Let's just pick that up there in 11 and 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, which is Phoenicia, and Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So there's people that's coming out after what had happened to Stephen, and that spread like wildfire, is what they're saying. It went into all of these regions. Well, then some of these went up into Antioch, and they started preaching this to the Gentiles. Well, there was people started getting saved up there, and then what happens? They decide, we're going to have to get somebody up that way, somebody that's strong in the doctrine here, and they send Barnabas up there. Said, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. They didn't tell him where to go, did they? They said, there's something going on up there in that region, and we need to get somebody up there. So he was allowed to go as far as Antioch. Now, he could have settled in anywhere that he seen fit. I believe right there is a fine example of the church releasing him to go up there and do some missionary work. And that's where the Antioch church was established, I believe. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, because that's where him and Paul got separated after that. Paul got sent up to Tarsus. Well, now what's Barnabas saying? There's a work here to be done. Now, who would have shown Barnabas that? Just like the Lord had already showed him, that's a worker that I need you to go and get. So Barnabas departs from there, goes gets Paul from Tarsus and brings him back. Or brings him there to start with. Because we know that Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. He was baptized there at Damascus. Well, then he went down to Jerusalem. Then he hid out in Tarsus for a while until Barnabas goes over and gets him and pulls him over into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So what was Paul and Barnabas doing? They were teaching. Masters. Any thoughts on any of that? I know that kind of peels off a little bit from where we were going, but it's critical that the right people are able to go and do as the Lord sends them. We learned in the entire what we referred to as the Macedonian call, right? They were traveling over that direction. Paul wanted to go north, and the Lord wouldn't allow him to go. So what'd they do? Now they were given liberty from the church. They were given the church authority to go out and do, but it's up to these men that are called by God to follow that Holy Spirit and to go where he'd have them to go. Amen. And when to go. And it said that they had prayed on that. Now going back to Acts 13 and 3. So now in this position, we know the Holy Ghost is the one that sparked this between these teachers in 13 and 1. It gives their names. And I believe the Holy Ghost had bared witness with their spirit, and between them, it says there in a second, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, out of these other men. So he's saying, these are the two that I want. So I believe, again, he bared witness with these men's hearts, and they are now heading that direction because of the Holy Ghost had done it. And now here we are in a third. I believe this is an example of the church. When these men come before them and said, I believe the Lord has shown me that I need to go up there. I need to go on and I need to go and do this work. Now the church has a decision, don't they? And what do these men do in the third? And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That's sending away, like what we talked about earlier. That's where they released them. So I think of it in today's terms. If someone presents themselves in front of the church and says, the Lord told me to do this, if within mere seconds somebody makes a motion and seconds, and like what Brother Jeff has said, those seconds sometimes are more, maybe they're larger, they're seen to be, and they're more important than the motion itself, because without a second, it's unconsidered. It's not even talked about. But once it gets seconded, then that's when the floor can open up for discussion. Anybody wish to speak to the matter? Now it's seconded. But within seconds of this person presenting their self, I believe the Lord has allowed me, told me to be here. I need to join. Motion, seconded, and then what happens? A vote happens within seconds. These men should give us our example. It says right here, it said that, I've lost my page. It said that they fasted and they prayed. And I don't believe they're sitting there thinking, well, what's other churches going to think about us? I don't believe that crossed their mind. I believe they're saying, Lord, we're presented with something here. And being presented with that, this is a big decision. Church, you need to understand the implications. You're teaching at this very point in time. And what did it say in James 3? When you're teaching, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, you're fixing to make a decision. Are we going to allow this individual to join or are we not? 50-50 chance, right? Brother preached, is that Acts 5? That you preached on last week with Gamaliel? And Gamaliel said, if this is of nothing, if this is not real, it's going to come to naught. But if this is of God, there's a 50-50 chance, ain't it? If this is of God, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. On that 50-50 chance, there's no way, personally, I'm going to stand up and say, I know that individual's heart, and I know God wouldn't have allowed that to happen. I'm not going to make that stand. On the chance, on a 99-1 chance, I'm not going to say it, because if God's in the matter, I'm going to find myself fighting against God. I don't want no part of that. None. We need to do the very best we can to be fruit inspectors. And that's biblical. We need to try, and there's nothing wrong with asking questions. Sometimes we're too lenient. Sometimes we hear, we hear somebody say something and say, well, that just ain't right, but they don't know how we would have said it, and their verbiage may be off a little bit, and that's okay. But sometimes there just ain't enough evidence there. And there's nothing wrong with somebody standing up and saying, brother, can you tell me about a time to where you really had godly, heartfelt conviction, not worldly sorrow, but godly, heartfelt conviction, and God fixed that and gave you peace? Can you tell me about that? And him be able to word that a little bit better, then the church just feels so much better. And that's us inspecting that fruit, looking for that. Yep, we've done our part. We've checked it over. We can only go so far, but if that individual is able to word stuff in a way that just makes us all feel real good, and we no more know that the Lord led that. I mean, we've got to take them on their word, but it's going to show. It'll come to naught, just as Gamaliel said. It'll come to naught. It always does, but if it's of God, you're going to find yourself fighting against him. And that was from a Jew, not a Christian, that was saying those things. A very knowledgeable man. Any thoughts on any of that? Brother Jeff mentioned it earlier. We're going to go to Ephesians a little bit. Ephesians 4. We'll start at Ephesians 4 and 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Know your calling. 4 and 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So there's a few of the positions listed. There's a whole lot more of the church. There's good praying members. There's ones that members that come in here on Saturday and turn the air conditioner on so that you can come in here cool on Sunday morning. Amen. You don't ever know that he's ever been here.
Right.
Brother Bill does those things.
Yep.
Fixes water leaks, light bulbs. He's done that stuff for years. And nobody ever knows it.
Yep.
He'll never stand up there and say, well, I came by yesterday and hope y'all felt good. That ain't him. He ain't going to say or do that. That's what he does. There's positions. Work to be done in the church. And why do they, in 4:11, why do we have these positions? And it says it in 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And edifying is providing moral or intellectual instruction. Isn't that teaching? First Timothy 2:7. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So that's Paul speaking there. And we'll go to 2 Timothy 1:11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So he doesn't leave that off very often, right? He recognizes the order and he recognizes his jobs. He's got multiple jobs there, doesn't he? But a lot of times he'll include that teacher, meaning that he's not just talking at him, but he's giving. Brother Barry was talking earlier about how to give an examples, and sometimes you don't have the answers. Young man that came and preached for us the other night out on the porch.
Terrence Pryor.
He came up here the time before that. I believe he was helping us. He was here in revival. And it was about his maybe second time to stand, and he'd done a real good job the first time. And it was his second night to stand during that revival. And he stood up here and he said, I don't know what to tell you. I ain't got nothing. And he sat right back down.
Amen.
He was teaching, whether he knew it or not, he was teaching. Because I thought, boy, that would have been hard to have done. You know, knowing he weighed out in his mind how these people are going to think that he hadn't studied or that he wasn't wanting to do the work. I don't think it was that at all. I think God used that for a teaching point. If you don't have nothing, do not stand in the way. Allow the Lord's work to be done. And we had a pretty good service that night. But that has stuck with me more than some of the other messages that some of the other brethren had come in here with. Just be honest with you, it has. That was a teaching point.
I like what Paul said right there at the very first in that 11th verse. He says, for I am appointed.
Amen. Amen.
Who done the appointment?
That's right.
Walking worthy.
Yes.
Of the vocation where he's called.
Yeah.
And we all know who done the point.
Amen. God bless.
It's a lot like where Larry was talking about where Barnabas went up there as far as Antioch and all. And you just have to sort of put yourself in his shoes. He went up there teaching and preaching, and I really feel like he got to a point that he realized that Paul needed to be here.
Amen.
I mean, and how much, you just talking about Terrence, you know, when he just had to sit down. I believe whenever Barnabas went up there, he got to his limit. He knew that his part was finished, and he knew that these people needed somebody like Paul. And Paul was able to come up there, and you wonder what would have happened if Barnabas had just said, "No, I won't be in control here. Let me finish this.
Lord help.
Started. Let me." And if we're not careful, we get that in our minds.
Yeah.
You know, and we can tear down everything that we've ever built up.
Lord help.
But I thought about that a whole lot. How, you know, he went up there and then he realized that his part was done. It's sort of like it was with Paul and Apollos. You know, that's what the Bible's talking about, where they established Corinth church.
Mm-hmm.
I, Paul, have planted. I've done the mission work. But Apollos then come and water and done the good work. So Paul, when he was finished, he turned it over. Because Apollos then, he had a gift.
Amen.
That church needed. And just like those up there, you know, Paul needed to be up there around Antioch as well.
Amen.
And the Lord knows where we're all needed. Dean Dyer. Who else could have went up there and done that? You know, Don Curtis could have probably went up there, and that probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But it needed to be Dean Dyer.
Amen.
Different preachers are different. You know, sometimes a church gets in a situation where they need some teaching, and God sends a teaching.
Amen. Person. That's right.
Sometimes a church needs the explosion of the Spirit, and He sends somebody more what we call spiritual, you know, more emotional or something. But God knows every one of our needs, and He knows the church. So it's important to know our vocabulary.
Amen.
Sometimes church needs something like me. Whatever.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Whatever.
Amen.
We're still on the
Amen. I got a couple more verses here, and we'll hit. We'll try to. Let's go to Hebrews 5:12-14. Recognizing that there's another side to this preaching too, or the teaching. 5:12-14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So what he's saying there is, there comes a time when you ought to be able to teach. You ought to be mature enough. You've been it this way for a long way. You've sat under a lot of good preaching. You've sat under a lot of good teaching with lots of Marty Metter and Barry, I don't know how long you've done that. As long as I can remember, you was teaching up here, and I just wished I'd have got into it sooner. But the teaching, how long did these people sit under good, sound preaching and teaching? And what he's saying here is you should be ready for steak, and you're still drinking milk. You're not matured in this. Your job as a church member is to be mature in this. So we're supposed to be growing, not just idling. So that's the point that he's getting at. You ought to be mature in the truth and doctrine and able to teach, but you're not able to. And then we'll read one last place, 2 Peter 2:1. See if I can find Peter this morning. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So recognizing that's the reason why we need to be mature in this. We need to be able to recognize the difference between just and right men and somebody that could possibly bring trouble into the church, recognizing what's really of the Lord, recognizing where your authority is and where the Lord's continues. Anything else this morning? If nothing else, we'll consider self-dismissed. That was James 3:1.